right. Thank you, Mr. Ald. Excellent job in Sunday school, by the way. Very good work. That was awesome. And thanks also, Jeff did an awesome job, did a bang-up job last week preaching, didn't he? I thought it was spot on. And let me tell you why that was so good. That was so good because he wasn't scheduled to preach. He came up after services and said, I'm feeling the Spirit of God. I got to preach. Can I preach? Can I speak? And how do you squelch that, or do you go, come on, man. Come on. Preach it. And by the way, pray for Jeff and I. We're going to be leaving tomorrow for a couple days for a district conference over on the other side of the state. So we covet your prayers in that regard, that we're able to sit through some of the meetings and have a good time and make some connections. And I'm able to stand being in the car with him for a few hours. He's already promised me some troubles, so I don't know. We're continuing in our series right through 1 John. And 1 John is a book, a letter, that's written to a group of believers. And that group of believers, they were found themselves in a very disturbing and troubling situation. Some folks had left the fellowship, like a church split. Anybody ever been involved like in a church split? Where churches like really, it's like, we're just going to go do our own thing over here. It's okay. It's like, kind of like that, okay? It can be very difficult and very challenging if you've ever been through anything like that. And they had left because they abandoned the teachings that Jesus was the Messiah. They found it difficult to believe that a good God could dwell or inhabit a bad and sinful flesh. They were Greek intellectuals, very philosophical, very heavy thinkers. They were well-educated and well-versed, and they considered themselves really superior to the others in their understanding and in their knowledge. So they broke off into another sect, and they went their own way. Now, you can imagine that left some of those original believers a little bit distraught, feeling isolated, abandoned, hurt. You can imagine that the original group was very disappointed. And an apostle had heard about them. Probably or presumably John. And so he pens a letter. He's heard about their troubles and he pens this letter. And it's a letter of encouragement to them, reaffirming their faith. And the faith that they had since their beginning, that their understanding is correct. The Messiah came in the flesh. Spirit came in the flesh. God dwelt among us, died for our sins to establish a right relationship with God. A propitiation. Can't even say it well. Propitiation. A sacrifice was made. Jesus was the sacrifice. A blood offering was made. A bodily sacrifice was made to redeem a relationship between man and God. And now we have full access to God. We have direct access to God. We have a personal relationship with God. God has erased your sins. You put your faith in Jesus, he erased your sins. Now, I write this to you, this is verse 1, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the anointing sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. See, I can't get very far into the passage without giving some praise to Jesus and all that he has done. All the work that he did. He is our advocate. He is the righteous one. I wish you did not sin. I wish I did not sin. But everyone sins. And we have a great mediator before the Holy Father, Jesus Christ. His name is Jesus. Give him some praise. He's the one who took your punishment. He's the one who took my punishment. He's the one that took our penalty. He's the Holy One. He's the Messiah. He's the Anointed One. He's the atoning sacrifice. Listen, church, I love you. I love you. But I did not die for your sins. Jesus did. Listen, listen, not St. Peter. Jesus died for your sin. Not the Pope. Jesus died for your sin. Not the Buddha. Not even the apostles. Jesus died for your sins. Not the sacred chant that you hum or the magic crystals that you rub. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for your sins. That's it. He's the one. Jesus is our advocate before the Holy Heavenly Father. He takes all the wrath that should be yours and puts it on himself. He takes the punishment that should be yours and he wears it like a thorn of crowns in victory over sin and death. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have heard since the beginning. This old command is the message that you have heard, yet I am writing you a new command. Blah, 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 what? Its truth is seen in him and in you because the darkness is passing and the true light is already here. So here's your first one, the command, right? There's a command. What command? This can kind of be kind of confusing. Now I'm not writing you a new command, but an old command. Yet I am writing you a new command. Is it an old command or is it a new command? It's the one that you've heard from the beginning of your understanding. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the Messiah. He has come in the flesh. God has dwelt among us. It's new, but it's old, that which you have heard. This is the Old Testament? Well, it's the fulfillment of the Old Testament, but it's new. So it's old, but it's new. Yeah, that's like buying a used car. It's new to me. I'm not telling you what you have not already heard or that you already know. I'm kind of telling you in a new way that maybe you grab hold of the understanding. Listen, God's truth is seen in him, Jesus Christ. That's the scripture. God's truth is seen in him and in you. See, the truth of God, the love of God seen in Jesus, the grace of God seen in Jesus, the mercy of God seen in Jesus, the compassion of God seen in Jesus. You want to get to know God, get to know Jesus. But now listen, its truth is seen in him and you. And you. The love of God is seen in you. The mercy of God is seen in you. The grace of God is seen in you. The forgiveness of God is seen in you. You want to get to know God. Should they get to know you? Can they get to know you? It's truth. God's truth is seen in him and in you. The light of the world is here, already among us. The light of the world fills you. The Holy Spirit of God, God himself, dwells within you. You want to experience God? Give all the mercy away that you've ever received from him. Give away all the forgiveness from God that you've ever received from him. Yeah, anybody ever got compassion from the Lord? Anybody ever got any comfort from the Lord? Yeah, give it away. Give it away. When they asked Jesus, hey, what's the greatest commandment? What did he say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love as I have loved. Forgive as I have forgiven. Give grace as I have given you grace. Give mercy as I have given you mercy. Give comfort as I have given you comfort. The light shines in Jesus and in you. The absolute essence of God's love. Love others. God came not to condemn the world. The world's already condemned. God came not to condemn, but to restore relationship. God came to establish that intimate one-on-one relationship. Listen, God's desire, God's desire, God's will for himself, not what's God's will for me. No, no, God's will for himself will have a relationship with you. God's desire, have a relationship with you. A relationship that is now healed. A relationship that was shattered, been put back together. A relationship that was fragmented, but has now been restored to fullness. He sought you. He came for you. He desires to walk with you. Even in our failures, he purifies. Even in our stumbling, he cleanses. Even in our faults, he reconciles. We can learn a lot about a God that is light. I know this for sure. I am not the light. He is, and his light shines through. You are not the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit shines through. Darkness is passing, light is shining. Where's the light shining from? You, 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 and you. Here's your next slide. Have you ever heard of this? This is cybersecurity command centers. Have you ever heard of this? This is the United States Cyber Command. They have mobile units now that kind of do this, all the cyber units, right? And so these command centers are used to communicate with compromised systems. They're established to assist those systems that are broken or have been affected by cyber attacks. How many times have we been heard on the news even? Hackers got into IBM and stole 30,000 people's private information. Anybody ever been hacked on Facebook? Cyber attacks. Cyber attacks. I remember sitting in a conference room, it's 20 years ago now, sitting in a conference room around a big table, and we're all sitting at our computers. It's a big table, sitting in a big conference room, big room, like this, big table. It's all sitting around, there's 20 of us. And all of a sudden, the double doors swing open, whoom! And in comes a guy, and he runs around the table, and he runs to the window, and he points at this car that's driving down the road. That's the guy right there, that's the guy right there, that's the guy right there. Driving away. He was trying to hack into the computers. The Alliance Development Fund and the Orchard Foundation. He was trying to hack in. And then so, remember, this is 20 years ago. So, and one of the guys speaks up and goes, oh, yeah, I got like 7 spam mails that came through my email. And he goes, 7? 7? Wow. Within the last 3 minutes, we stopped 30,000. 20 years ago. It's in the millions now, in the millions, every day, every second, every moment, boom, 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 trying to attack, trying to steal, trying to take your identity, trying to mess up systems. The IT guy comes rushing in and kind of protects. Cyber command centers work constantly to restore and update, to eliminate malware, to eliminate all the viruses that destroy. Folks, the church is a command center for the sinner. We work constantly to restore and update lives, to point people to the Jesus Christ, the great IT guy, to assist people in the schemes of the enemy, to fix broken systems, to fix compromised systems, to reboot the system so that systems can begin to operate at full capacity. We're not simply a country club for the saint. We're a hospital for the sinner. We're not just a safe haven for the saint, a hospital for the sinner. We are constantly being bombarded by the enemy. Why are we constantly bombarded by the enemy? Because we have valuable information, that's why. Because we have personal information, that's why. Because we hold treasured spiritual intelligence, that's why. Here's your next slide. See, the enemy targets and attacks that which is his greatest threat. The enemy targets and attacks their greatest threats. Aren't you glad he healed you? Aren't you glad he mended you? Aren't you glad he rebooted you and restored you and rehabilitated you? We are a command center, folks. What is that command? Well, it's an old one, but it's a new one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Do you love yourself? Love your neighbors. Have you forgiven yourself? Forgive your neighbors. Do you treat yourself well? Treat your neighbors well. Do you have mercy on your own soul? Have mercy on someone else's soul. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there's nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not even know where they're going because the darkness has blinded them. Hatred is dark. Gossip is dark. Anger is dark. Lust is dark. Arrogance is dark. Jealousy is dark. It's like blind leading the blind. Then there's the world. Then there's the world. There's your next one. The major issue about being the light is that light exposes the darkness. People in the light, afraid of the dark. People in the dark, afraid of the light. Saints are uncomfortable around all those sinners. Those sinners are uncomfortable around all those saints. Sinners don't come to church because they ain't saintly. Saints don't come to church because all those sinners that keep showing up. I invited a young lady to church. She said, I can't go to church. I'm too much of a sinner. Let that rattle in your brain for a while. I can't think of a better place for them to be. That's a wrong interpretation of the church. That's a wrong interpretation of the fellowship of the body of Christ. Who's the fellowship for? The world has mixed reviews about the church. You ever heard any? I hear them all the time. The world has mixed reviews about the church. Many are going to disrespect the church. They're going to degrade the church. They're going to challenge the church. They're going to ridicule the church. They're not going to believe. They're going to misunderstand. They're going to mock and they're going to scorn. All just like they did Jesus. The dark is scared of the light. Unfortunately, the light is scared of the dark. I think Mother Teresa kind of summed it up a little bit pretty good in her poem, Anyway. She writes, people are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish motives. Be kind anyway. If you're successful, you will win some false friends and make some enemies. Succeed anyway. If you're honest and you're frank, people may cheat you. Be honest and be frank anyway. What you spend years building, someone can destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, they will be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today, people will forget tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best that you have, and it may not be enough. Give the world the best that you have anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it's between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. Anyone who claims that they are in the light but hates still in the darkness. And I've been saying it a lot lately, and you can catch it a lot now that political things are starting to rise up. Don't be a hater. Don't be a hater. It's very important that we walk with each other and carry each other through all the seasons of our lives. There are lots of seasons in our lives, but particularly you'll get that if you've gone through a few. Some have gone through way more than a few. Some are going through a few. There are lots of reasons, lots of seasons. And some of those seasons are very bright and very beautiful. There's babies and weddings and baptisms and birthdays and the first kiss and the prom. And I got my driver's license and things are wonderful and awesome. And some things can be very bright and beautiful. And some can be very dark and depressing and uncomfortable. Untimely deaths, deaths of children, addictions, adulteries, prison. Some seasons are very youthful, full of vigor, danger, risk. Man, I remember those days. I'm not nearly as risk-taking as I used to be. And then some seasons are more senior moments, you know? Like why did I walk into this room? Yeah. There are seasons to your lives, all those seasons. We're supposed to be there for each other through all the seasons, to walk with people through the seasons of life. And sometimes you only have, you have moments with people that are a season in their life when they're young, and then when they're old, they live in Oregon now. Some seasons you have with people that are just, they go through seasons, right? Season to season. And you watch your kids go from infancy to adolescence to young adults to, right? Seasons in life, and you're with them all the time. We have to be there for each other through all the seasons. Why? Why? Because he was there for all of our seasons. Through every one of them. He was there for each of us. Are we the body of Christ? Jesus values all people. Which people? And now, Jesus values all people. Which people? See, he was there through Peter's denial. He was there through Thomas's doubting. He was there with the Samaritan woman who we should not have been talking to. And her five husbands and the one she's living with now is not her husband. He was there for them. He was there for you. Through all of it. And he's here right now. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. We are not to love the world or anything in it because it's all fleeting. The world has no eternal value. People do. Your house has no eternal value. Jesus is building a much better mansion for you than whatever you think you can contrive. People have eternal value. We are to love the people in the world, not the world. Which people? Which people? Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away. But whoever does the will of God lives forever. Amen to that. We can stand on some amazing promises of God. There's your next one. Some of the promises. Whoever does the will of God lives forever. Are you in the will of God? Only you can answer that. What makes you think you're not? Only you can answer that. Maybe change. Maybe transform. Maybe keep doing what you're doing. I'm writing to you because your sins have been forgiven. Verse 12, I'm writing to you because your sins have been forgiven. I'm writing to you because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you because you know the Father. I write to you because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you because you are strong and the word of God lives in you and you have overcome the evil one. Fathers, young men, dear children, brothers and sisters, how amazing you are. How powerful you are, how strong you are, how capable you are, how marvelous you are, how astonishing you are, how skilled you are, how talented you are, how gifted you are, how remarkable you are. God loves you and wants a relationship with you. Why did he do all of this that we keep talking about for the last 2,000 years? Because he desires a relationship with you. The Holy Spirit is alive and well and dwells here. The Holy Spirit is alive and well and dwells in you. The light has come and it continues to shine. See, Jesus saw people differently than the world sees people. Spirit became flesh that dwell among us to know us and that we might know him, that we might be able to have the eyes and the heart of Christ. Jesus valued others because of who he is, not because of who they are and what they've done. Are you sure you want to be Christ-like? Jesus valued people, all people, because of who he was and who he is, not because of who they were and what they had done. Are you sure? Are you sure you're seeing with the eyes of Christ? People would say things like, oh, it's impossible. Jesus says, all things are possible. People say, nobody loves me. Jesus says, I love you. People say, I can't possibly go on. Jesus says, my sufficiency is all you need. I'm not able. Jesus says, I'm able through you. People would say, no one can help me. Jesus would say, I can help you. People say, I'm not smart enough. Jesus says, I give you all the wisdom that you will ever need. People believe they get stuck in a season. Jesus says, I provide a way where there seems to be no way. Come, follow me. You are strong and the victory has already been won. Can you receive that it's already been won? I don't know what you're fighting for, but it's already done. Accomplished. Finished. Put down some old habits. Put away some of the old self. Put away some of the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Power off all the negative viruses that are going on in your brain. Come into the light. Fears, guilt, shame, all washed away. Format the hard drive. Reboot. Burdens can be taken from you. Jesus cleanses. Jesus is the light. Jesus gives us victory. The world lies to you and keeps you in the dark, and keeps you self-centered. Politicians lie to you. They need a vote. Scammers scheme because they want to deceive you. Hackers hack. Why? Because they want to just involve you in hardship. The promise of the Holy Spirit will heal all the wounds. Are you scared? Are you scared? Come into the warmth of the Savior. Are you hurt? Confused about things? Come into the light of the Savior. Are you in pain? Exhausted emotionally, physically, mentally, spent? Come into the healing presence of the Holy Spirit of God. These are the moments and this is the place. The world will try to trick you. The Lord will save you. The world will lie to you. The Lord will guide you. People will hate you, and the Lord will love you. Love is patient and love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love is not proud. Love does not dishonor others. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. Love keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres. And love never fails. In a world full of arguments and disagreements, show love. In a world full of war, show love. In a world full of misinformation and intentionally misleading you, show love. We need to have our minds and our hearts focused on what God wants and God's desires. As for you, verse 24, see what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he's promised. Anybody there on verse 24? Anybody look it up? Anybody watching it? Anybody reading it? No. This is what he's promised. Eternal life. Rest easy, folks. Doesn't matter who the president is. Rest easy, folks. Evil is prevalent and present. Always has been. As long as there's been people. You can't fix people. Jesus fixes. Jesus takes the sin. Jesus takes the curse. Jesus establishes the relationship. Rest easy, folks. There's life even after death. Death's got no hold on you. Dear children, this is the last hour. I've been hearing a lot of that too. Oh, you know, the end's coming. The world's coming to end. You can tell, man, everything's going to get worse before it gets better. Man, things are getting bad. Dear children, this is the last hour. We've been saying that for 2,000 years. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now, many Antichrists have already come. This is how we know it's the last hour. So there's your last one, Antichrist. People love talking about the last days. Well, if Trump gets elected, well, that's the death of this nation, I can tell you that. Well, if Harris gets elected, well, that's the death of this nation, I can tell you that. Man, I am so fortunate to live in this nation. Doesn't matter who the president is, because I belong to the kingdom of God. Bigger than any nation. I serve the kingdom. I preach the kingdom. Who are these antichrists anyway that are walking around among us now? They deny Jesus. Antichrists that walk among us. False messiahs, false prophets, false teachers. Anti-church, anti-Jesus, anti-God, anti-holy, anti-spirit, anti-sacrament, anti-marriage, anti-life. These are harsh realities for John and his group of believers that he's trying to encourage. That was their reality back then. That's a harsh reality for us even today. What do you mean the Bible's not relevant? The Bible's as relevant as people have been as long as there's been people. Because it's relevant to people. These are harsh realities. There's nothing new under the sun, folks, when it comes to people. And these antichrists are alive? Yes. Back then? Yes. Today? Yes. Probably even more so we see now, right? Because we got all the social stuff and we love to see all the antichrists hacking into our lives, trying to put down Christ, trying to put down church, trying to put down love and incite division, incite arguments, incite divisiveness. Yeah, don't let them win. Show love. True followers are not perfect, but they follow God. True followers get it wrong, but they keep on trying. True followers desire to live as Jesus lived and to love as Jesus loved. I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you. Not the anointing you received from the apostle. Not the anointing you received from the church. Not the anointing you received from your spouse. The anointing you received from God himself remains in you. And you do not need anyone to even teach you. But as his anointing teaches you, the Holy Spirit of God will teach you about what? All things, as his anointing teaches you about all things, and that anointing is real, it's not counterfeit, just as it has been taught to you, remain in him. Keep on seeking him. Keep on doing good. Keep on serving one another. Keep on shining your light. Pretty mama gonna make everything all right. And I ain't got no worries, because I ain't in no hurry at all. And hey, this church, New Life Alliance Church, we'll keep the light on for you.
Thank you, gentlemen, for preparing to receive the offering. Thank you, guys. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you this morning for this word. We thank you for the assurance, Lord, that you are advocate before the Father. We thank you for the assurance that you are working here, Lord, in this church, and we just thank you and praise you for all your blessings. We want to take a moment and return some of what you've given us to your work and to what you are doing. We pray that you would take it, multiply it, bless it, and multiply it many times over. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.